Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The call-in number is 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC or 844-322-2742. Every day on Basic Gospel, you hear the Word of God revealing true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. And it intersects with your life every day. Again, that call-in number is 844-32-BASIC. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We've been talking about this, I think, the most compelling question ever asked. It was asked by Jesus to his disciples, but it's a question that is asked of us as well. Who do we say that Jesus is? That is a question that determines our eternal destiny. If I reject his claims that he's God, then I'm on my own. Yeah. I've got to figure out not only this life, but the life to come on my own. And I have to do all the work necessary to get me there. If I'm going to believe that Jesus is God, then everything is on his shoulders.
Right.
And my eternal life is in his hands. That's what grace is all about. That's what faith is all about, allowing God to do for us and Jesus what we could not do for ourselves, mm-hmm. and us believing that's the only way, not just a way, but the only way to eternal life. That's why Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus asked this compelling question, who do you say that I am? And all throughout his ministry, he answered it time and time and time again. And John 14:6 is one of the most concise answers to that very question. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, here's the question to you, our listeners today. Do you really believe that? I mean, is that just words that you've heard, or do you really believe it? Have you put your entire life into that statement, counting on it to be true? If you're wanting to go to the Father, to be with the Father, are you resting in the fact that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life?
Yeah.
Not a way, but the way. Not a truth, but the truth. Not a life, but the life. Mm-hmm. Do you really believe that to be true? The world wants to see that you really believe it. Ran across an article this weekend that showed up in the Atlantic magazine. It was written by a gentleman named Larry Taunton. And he is the founder of a wonderful organization called the Fixed Point Foundation. And he puts together a lot of debates with some of the new atheists, guys like Christopher Hitchens before he passed away, Richard Dawkins, another fellow named Peter Singer. These are the guys that are considered as a part of the new atheism. They're the movers and shakers in that movement, so to speak. But he did a survey recently of college students who self-identify as atheists. And he wanted to find out some reasons, what led them to atheism. And this article is all about some of the things that he found. So he interviewed college students that were members of either one of these two organizations, Secular Student Alliances or Free Thought Societies. And these are people who are not merely irreligious, they are actively, determinedly irreligious. They are somewhat militant in the fact that they do not believe that God exists. But in this survey, they called these folks in and just said, tell us about your journey. Mm-hmm. What led you to this point? Why are you an atheist today? And they came up with some, I think, pretty astounding findings in this particular study. First, most of these college students had attended church. So church was not a foreign thing. They weren't unchurched. These were churched people. And so this position of unbelief was a reaction to a church experience. So it was a reaction to Christianity. It wasn't a reaction to any of the other religions that are out there. It was a reaction to Christianity. The next thing that they found is that the mission and the message of the church that they attended was vague. They didn't really know what the church stood for. One of the students actually said this: the connection between Jesus and a person's life was not clear. I think that is very profound, yes, and deeply insightful. The connection, what she saw in the church, the connection between Jesus and a person's life was not clear. So let me ask you a question. Do you know the connection between Jesus Christ and your personal life? How is he relevant in your day-to-day existence? What does he matter to you? So we need to know what the connection is between Jesus and our day-to-day lives. Now, what these interviewers took from that is, here was a person who intuitively understood that the church does not simply exist to address social ills, but to proclaim the teachings of its founder, Jesus Christ, and their relevance to the world. That's what Christianity is all about. It's about Jesus and how he connects to us on a day-to-day existence. Now, they also felt their churches offered superficial answers to life's difficult questions. So they were very vague in questions about evolution versus creation, sexuality, the reliability of biblical text, the fact that Jesus claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. They didn't hold strong, firm convictions on any of these answers. So in their approach, they just took the irrelevant route. I'm not going to get my hands dirty type of route. And so folks, these teenagers got bored with church. They expressed their respect for those ministers who took the Bible seriously. I think that's an interesting finding. Yeah. They're looking for people that have convictions. They aren't looking for Casper Milquetoast people. They want folks with a backbone, somebody with a spine who will stand up and say, this is what I believe. I believe that Jesus is God. I believe that Jesus took away my sins once and for all through his shed blood on the cross. I believe that he was raised back to life. There is no vagueness, no ambiguity to that. It is a statement of fact. This happened. That's what news is. News took place. Jesus became one of us. He died to take away our sins, was raised back to life so that we could have everlasting life. And these folks respected those who firmly believed the basic elements of the gospel message. Now, when did most of these folks turn from their church experience to a life of unbelief, really proclaiming that we are atheists? It was during their high school years, between the formative ages of 14 and 17. That's when it took place. The high school years were the time when they embraced unbelief. And a lot of that is because they got bored with church. Church wasn't giving them solid answers to the big questions of life. The churches that these folks attended were very spineless in their belief system. I know when I was a kid, our church went through a transformation. The leadership in our church at that time, especially as it related to the youth group, made a statement. We're here to offer an alternative form of fun and entertainment. So youth group, all of that was around a safe form of entertainment to keep us out of trouble, to keep us off the streets, so to speak.
Yeah.
So they brought in all sorts of things that would entertain us. Very little of it had anything to do with the Word of God. Very little of it had anything to do with the gospel message. But there was one youth Sunday that made an impression on me, and it stuck with me to this moment. Our youth pastor at that time, he decided that he wanted to talk about the resurrection of Christ, and so he issued a challenge, and he said, think of yourself as an attorney. You're a high-powered attorney, and you've been given the task of proving that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. It's on your shoulders to prove to the world that Jesus indeed came out of that tomb. How would you go about it? What case would you make for the resurrection of Jesus Christ? I've never been as fascinated or intrigued by anything in church as I was that particular Sunday night. And that thought has motivated me for most of my life. How can we prove indeed that Jesus came back to life? Because everything hinges on that. There are so many people out there that will say, if you could just prove to me that Jesus was raised from the dead, I mean, prove to me beyond a shadow of a doubt, that would change everything for me. That would give me hope like I've never had hope before. That would enable me to relax about the here and now, knowing that I had a future with God. If you could just prove to me that Jesus Christ indeed was raised from the dead. It's that important. It's that significant. Paul talks about it in such a way, if Christ was not raised, then our faith is futile. We're still in our sins.
Right.
It is a huge, huge issue. So these folks, these 14 to 17-year-olds, they're getting bored in church. They're not being challenged to believe the basic elements of the Christian faith. And then there's one last thing that I found very intriguing about this. There was a girl, Rebecca, that they interviewed, and she said this. The reason that she left is because her dad had died, her mother had attempted suicide, and Rebecca was praying all that time, and here's what she said: God didn't answer, so I figured he must not be real. And then after a moment's reflection, she appended her remarks and said this: either that, or maybe he is real, and he's just trying to teach me something. Nobody reached out to her and gave her some hope in the midst of a very troubling time in her life. Well, the gospel message delivers good news in those particular times. As believers, do we really believe that to be true? How do you answer, who do you say that he is? And do you really believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God?
If you'd like to enter into the conversation, we'd love for that to happen right now. The lines are wide open. We await your calls at 844-322-BASIC. That's 844-322-2742. All the lines, as I said, are open right now. Time on the clock. Plenty of time to fully discuss your particular issue or your question on this edition of Basic Gospel. Again, 844-32-BASIC or 844-322-2742. I want to remind you, friends, that if you like what you hear on this broadcast, if it's made a difference in your life, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. And for sure, be sure to include Basic Gospel in your giving to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll find a support link at basicgospel.net, or you can speak with our operator right now or anytime during Central Time office hours at 844-41-BASIC. That's 844-41-BASIC. Well, guys, a question from Terry, and it's a little bit lengthy, but, man, he goes into some good stuff here. I'll share that with you, and then at the end he poses his question. It says, after a 15-year exposure and involvement with a legalistic church, I became acquainted with the concept of grace through the early days of your ministry, and after failed attempts to familiarize the church with this newfound discovery, I left. I found it curious that the very medium by which we are saved, by grace through faith, was seen as threatening. Many things began to become apparent to me, such as the conflicts between Christ and the Pharisees and Sadducees, the conflict between law and grace, death and life, if you will, and with the ultimate conclusion, the crucifixion and attempted destruction of grace, which added further credence to the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. I'm aware, as I continued to grow in the grace and knowledge of Him and understand being conformed to the image of Christ by the Holy Spirit, I have to wonder if I was saved during the 15 years of believing Christ, who was who He said He was, but still unwittingly practicing legalism. Would this have placed me in the category of the many who will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord? I'd like your view on this. If you're not saved by grace, are you saved at all?
Well, there's only one way to be saved, and that is by grace through faith. There's no other option. There's no plan B. That's what God brought into existence in Christ. That's His plan. He's going to stick with it. There is no other. Now, I, as a child, responded to a gospel message And I knew I needed Christ. I didn't have a lot of information, but I responded. I truly believe that I was saved at that moment when I was 12 years old at this youth camp that my church sponsored. But boy, I sure didn't live like I was saved for the longest time, because I was trying to do the Christian life through human effort. I put it clearly on my shoulders, and I tried to live it. But during that, if I had died and Jesus had asked, why should I let you into my heaven? Why should I let you into my presence? My answer would have been, because you died and rose again. Mm-hmm. So my argument wasn't about me and what I would have done or what I had done. I wouldn't bring anything to the table. Yeah. I knew I was helpless apart from him. So my faith was in Jesus. Now, I think that's probably true of this gentleman, Terry, that even though he didn't fully comprehend the total message that Christ died, that he was raised again to give us life, mm-hmm. I'm sure he wasn't going to argue any of his good works right. as his basis for salvation. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he would have argued Jesus, yeah. that Jesus is the one that I am trusting, and Jesus alone.
Yeah.
That to those who said, Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you, their argument wasn't around Jesus at all. They brought to the table all their good works. Look at all these wonderful things that we have done. Whenever we is the centerpiece of any argument, you know you're on the wrong yeah. side of the equation.
Right.
It's not about us. We can't save ourselves. It is by grace through faith alone.
Absolutely. Richard, I suspect that you found yourself somewhat in that category as well.
Yes, and one of the things of grace that I am so appreciative of is that I'm not saved by clarity of thought.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I accepted yeah. Jesus in high school, but I was clueless. Mm-hmm. But he was faithful, and he brought me along slowly but surely till I started studying, and people taught me things and asked me interesting questions. Yeah, if my salvation was based on my understanding or abilities or anything else, I would have been lost. Mm-hmm. But it's not based. It's based totally on Jesus, and he's sufficient to all of it.
That's pretty good news right there.
That is great news, yeah. and that gets back to some of the conviction that we're talking about yeah. in this article. I think Christianity has become soft out there. It's losing its impact, its force, so to speak, in the world, because we've lost our convictions. Mm-hmm. We've strayed away from the simplicity of the gospel. We've strayed away from those things that are of utmost importance to God, and that is Jesus and his death, his burial, and resurrection. And we've tried to blend into society. They don't want us to blend in.
Yeah.
They want to see that we have backbone. They want to see that we truly are taking a stand on this gospel message, and how they're going to see that as we learn to love one another. As we take our stand on this gospel of Jesus Christ, then we're going to be able to love one another as Christ has loved us. See, that's what this gospel message is all about. It's the truth about God's love that has been showered upon us, poured out on us in the person of Jesus Christ. And as we respond to that love, then we begin to love one another in earnest, with conviction, with a roll-up-the-sleeves attitude that says we're going to break away from convenience and be involved with one another. When the world looks at that, they sees the conviction of our love for Christ and for each other, mm-hmm. then they're going to step back and say, this Jesus must be real.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Terry, we appreciate your question. It provokes some good conversation and discussion on this edition of Basic Gospel. And friends, if you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, why, we encourage you, we adjure you by the grace of God to pose an email question to us. We'd love to address it on a later edition of the broadcast. I wanted to remind you also, friends, that it's really good to hear from you when you write or call to offer a word of encouragement or to share your newfound faith and understanding in God's grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we appreciate hearing from each of you who has given to keep Basic Gospel on the air. You know, together, as I've said before, we have a marvelous privilege of being ambassadors for Christ. And together with you, it's our hope to keep the good news of his love, grace, and life coming on the airwaves and online. If you have supported Basic Gospel in the past, you are, of course, the reason that we're here, and you are a terrific encouragement to us. But if you haven't had the opportunity to give and support of this ministry just yet, why, we ask you to become a partner with us today. We need your generous support at this time. You'll find a support link in the header at basicgospel.net, or you can speak with our operator at 844-41-BASIC. That's 844-41-BASIC. We hope to hear from you today.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk with Mike, listening to us on our great affiliate there, WFIA. Hi, Mike.
Hey, I'm just going to pose the question, and I'm going to listen on the radio because I'm okay. In my car. If you're attending a church that you're not really a member of, but your family, I guess, is like members of that denomination, and I've questioned the church leader about this, about, you know, what they're, just to kind of get a clarity of their view as far as like what would you say is person's way for salvation into heaven, and the answer was, you know, well, the belief that Jesus died and was buried and resurrected, but then when you look at other foundations and traditions that they're teaching, you question whether or not it's biblical or just tradition of man. So my question would be, I guess, how do you designate whether that church is truly following the Bible or would fit in that false teacher category? Because I'm kind of on that fence, like, well, you tell me this, and then but you do these customs which aren't exactly, I can't seem to find in the Bible. Does that make sense?
Well, Mike, it makes sense, and it really gets down to their posture toward those customs. Sometimes we can have traditions and customs and liturgy that enhances our belief system regarding the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. Other times, we can lose focus on Jesus and put our whole measure or whole weight of trust on these traditions. There are a lot of folks, a lot of churches that will say, for example, we believe that you're saved by believing the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And then you ask to join the church, and they say, have you been water baptized? You say, well, no, I haven't been water baptized. Well, you can't be saved if you haven't been water baptized. Well, then, so what are you saying? That it's more than the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? Have you added water baptism to the gospel message? Because that's not in the Word of God. And if you have added water baptism to the gospel message, then what you're basically saying is that water baptism is the way of being saved. It is by grace through water baptism, not by grace through faith. And that is a red flag, and I think you should recognize that. There's others that say you have to join the church. You have to become a full-fledged member of a local church in order to truly be saved. I don't know if that's as prominent today as it was back 30 or 40 years ago, but that was a big belief system that unless you joined a church, you couldn't really say that you were saved. Well, again, that's adding to the work of Christ. The gospel is very clear. It is the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is front and center. We're simply beneficiaries of that good news, the fact that God acted on our behalf. Faith believes it. Faith becomes fully persuaded that Jesus took away my sins, that Jesus was raised so that I could have life everlasting. So, Mike, you raise a very important question. There's a lot of subtlety, a lot of nuance out there, and sometimes it takes a little work to filter through all of those different layers to see what a group actually believes. But hopefully, when you do that, you will see that the church that you're in questioning will come out and say, I believe squarely in the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus.
Well, I could get my microphone on. I could say thanks to Mike for calling. We appreciate hearing from all of those of you who take part in the broadcast every day. Very few of you this time, and I hope tomorrow if you have a question, you give us a call early in the broadcast because we want to address your question and take you into the Word of God for the answer and or the solution. Well, thanks again for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.